Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What are you going to leave?
Let's coordinate the tip here.
Why?
Well, we split the check. We both have the exact same bill. So why don't we leave the same thing so one of us doesn't look like an idiot?
Mike Shope.
But what is the big deal if we both leave the same amount?
What do you want to leave? What's your inclination?
$12?
$12?
Yeah.
Good. Put down 12.
How much are you going to leave?
The Bulldog.
I'm encouraging you to leave $12. I think it's a number. There's nothing to be ashamed of on writing $12 under gratuity on your check.
Are you going to leave $12?
You want to know what I'm leaving? I'm going to write down what I'm leaving right now. I'm writing a number. Now I'm folding that number.
You're not going to tell me what you left? Is that it?
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I am very excited about our show.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Kind of a different day, Martin Luther King Day, and it's it might as well be Christmas Eve or the day after Thanksgiving around here. This one is an actual holiday. These other ones, you know, they're not really holidays, but we stretch it. You don't see people around the office today, like very few people in the office. Leaving the day wide open for Sneaky Joe to just hang out for 3 hours on the air with his brother and then also produce this show and then be on tonight.
Yep. It's just a lot of me today.
That's it's like a Sneaky Joe Sports Thunder.
Pretty much.
A one-man thunder. Yeah, now it's starting to sound like something else.
Nine hours in a row, so yeah.
9 hours?
Yeah.
Noon to nine.
There's enough that happened, I think, over the weekend, so you got the benefit of that.
Plus the Curb premiere. Oh, you and I were just talking about this, and probably shouldn't get into it, or what? Like, it's at 10:30 on a Sunday night. Yes, Martin Luther King Day, but still 10:30 at night. At 3 o'clock the next day, that's still in the window, right, where we shouldn't really talk about it too much?
No, it's not. Well, it's also not quite the show where, like, what are you spoiling? You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
it's like the plot and the actual right. story is not really why you're there.
Season to season, very little carries over, if anything. So there's nothing. It's not like one of these shows where you needed to see last night to get closure on something that happened in this in last season, which in Curb's case is like years ago.
Right. And if someone told me what happened, like what Larry buys at the end of this episode yesterday, maybe I won't say in case someone would get upset, but if someone told me what Larry bought at the end of the episode, I wouldn't care. Still watch it. Still enjoy it.
Yeah.
It'd be fine.
I do want to say one thing about it, though, at the risk of messing with people who haven't seen it yet. Like, this isn't going to, like you just said, this isn't going to be something that I think keeps you away from the show. Why would it? But, so, to me, like, the beauty of that show is Larry David is this character who everybody tends to dislike. Like, he's always in these situations where people are yelling at him, and oftentimes you can appreciate why. And other times you might sympathize with him, but for the most part, he's overstepped, and other people in the situation are like, they're just, you know, mad at him, right? But I do think for the most part, like, you can sort of get Larry.
Yeah.
Like, you get him. Like, the thing, we have this thing with the tip, right? And that's not even that bad, and that's just a separate conversation he's having with one other person, but, you know, we want to coordinate the tip here. Things like that. You can sort of, you might get him. You might, not every time, but a lot of time you're sort of going to understand, okay, well, I wouldn't act like that, but I can see why someone else might.
Yeah, he basically, he'll confront you about things that I feel like annoy everybody.
The beginning of last night, though, the beginning of season 10, is it?
Yeah, season 10.
Is more, he's just flaunting how little he cares about, I mean, a lot, that's kind of been the regular thing all these years with Curb Your Enthusiasm, with Larry David, is he cares, but he'll still say the thing that he shouldn't say. He'll still have the confrontation. But he does expect, or he does care about the result, or he cares about the reaction he'll get. He does a couple of things walking down the street in this show last night where you go, like, what person would do that? All right, so somebody would want to coordinate the tip, and somebody might, you know, whatever, that carpool lane episode, or the dozens of different things he's done that, you know, I wouldn't do that, but I imagine somebody would do that. Who does what? Who just takes the kid's selfie stick and snaps it over his knee? Like, who does that? What kind of move is that? And there's just nothing more to it. There's no consequences. Like, the kid yells at him, but
he just keeps walking.
He just keeps walking. Like, who does that's? Now I feel like I'm watching a different kind of a show. He's just totally flaunting how unconcerned he is with what you're going to think.
Right. It almost feels like a lot of times he's not trying to upset another person, even though he always does. This moment is just like, I don't care.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
It just went a little bit further, but that's fine.
It was only really the growth. One moment where that happened, too, so...
I guess.
Otherwise, it was pretty much like same old.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
Except for, yeah, he snaps it over his leg.
Yeah, like
immediately.
What
like,
kind of move
right
is that?
Right off the bat, too.
There's no conversation. That's right. Right to start the season. I'm back. There's no conversation about it. It's never mentioned again. I don't know, Joe. We have our Super Bowl. And, come on, this is not a hot take. Who doesn't love it? This is a good one. It's way better than any of these dumb Patriot ones. I don't know. It's the wrong way to look at it, maybe, but there was just nothing more to determine about the Patriots. What's great about these games, the Super Bowl, the World Series, the finals, and anything, is you know, and you have 2 weeks in this case to process, if you're like really into it, you know how these people's careers will be remembered differently based on what happens at this level. Think about like any sport. It's easier to think about players and teams that have been there a lot. Think about LeBron James. Maybe he's the first person who comes to mind. And right from almost the very beginning of his career, he's in the finals right away, almost right away with Cleveland, right out of high school. And you just know, we're looking at one of the all-time greats here probably. What is going to determine how we look at LeBron James after he's done playing or as his career plays out? It's titles. It's just how it is. It's how it is in basketball. In basketball, the great players carry so much weight. They have so much power in the outcome of seasons. And now with all the flexibility they have, picking teams, super teams and whatnot, it's even more so. Titles are such a defining element. I'm trying to avoid legacy because legacy just seems so overwrought. But, you know, it's a sports legacy. That's really what it is. In their careers, how we remember them. And there was just nothing more to do. I say it like it's in the past. I don't know. Maybe it isn't. But there was nothing more to do with Brady. There was nothing more to do with Belichick. Actually, one thing that would be new to do with them is if they split up. And if Brady went to another team, I will say something about this soon or later, but I was listening to Louis and Joe driving here and Derek, and like, I got something on that. That's a good show, right? When you're listening to it and you think, I got something to say about that. So I had that happen today when they were talking about Brady and what happens with him. I might just give it to you in a second, but there was nothing more to do with the Patriots. Okay, so they're playing the Rams. Well, can the Rams win? That's interesting. What do we do with the Patriots if they win? What do we do with the Patriots if they lose? Nothing. There's nothing interesting about it. And add to that a dislike that a lot of us feel about them, and I don't just mean like Bills fans, but everybody, whether it's cheating or just it's just so stale having them in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's not something they would worry about. I mean, they should, of course, it's nothing. It's just something for fans to say. But I didn't know, I just didn't care. Like, there was nothing more to do with it. I love sports for when these moments come, and it seems to mean a lot what happens in the championship. When Peyton Manning got to the Super Bowl, it was, can he actually win? You have that in all sports. You have that in individual sports. You have that in golf. Tennis, you have that in team sports. Can LeBron with the Cavaliers, okay, you won with Miami, Can you actually win, you know, baseball teams, anything? And this game is good. Both of these teams are on, I think, I don't know, maybe it's a little different between the two, but neither of these teams is at the end of anything. Neither of these teams are teams or led by coaches or players who, maybe Andy Reid, I guess, would be the most like this, but can they actually do it? I guess, I mean, yes, Andy Reid, the thing with Andy Reid in the next 2 weeks will be, can he actually win? Now, he's one of the winningest coaches ever. The guy's been, think about Andy Reid, like he's been a head coach in the league for 20 years, and his teams have almost always been good. They've either been good or very good almost every year under Andy Reid. A couple of one-off losing seasons, but not much of that. So we'll have that with him. He'll definitely be the kind of the darling. Everybody likes him. Everybody in the media likes him. There'll be a lot of that in the next 2 weeks. Can Andy Reid actually win a championship? And why not? I mean, why couldn't he? But really, the Chiefs and the Chiefs because of Mahomes and the 49ers with Kyle Shanahan and Garoppolo and all of that are like they're new. The 49ers have had losing seasons, what is it, 5 years in a row before this year?
5 years in a row, I think four were 10 losses. Four in a row with 10 losses or more. First team to ever make the Super Bowl after that.
Okay. So they could go away next year a little bit like the Rams did this year, but you know they're not at the end of anything. And the Chiefs really aren't either. Mahomes is 3 years in the league. The first year he doesn't play. The second year he's the NFL MVP. 50 touchdown passes, 5,000 passing yards. They lose in overtime of the AFC Championship to a team that wins every year. And then this year, that team is out of the way and they win. One other thing, speaking of New England, this is, I guess, probably pretty obvious. I mean, most years, or many years anyway, you have this. But as much as any year, think about what Week 17 meant to these two teams and their chances. Kansas City and San Francisco. You got to be a little bit careful when you draw big conclusions about who made the Super Bowl. I think we're all sort of tempted to talk about that today. And that's fine. What does Kansas City mean? Got to have the great quarterback. Got to throw the ball. Got to have, you know, whatever. Whatever it is about them that you'd pick out. Those would probably be the top two things. San Francisco made the Super Bowl. Oh, got to be able to run it. Got to have a great defense. Right? That's what you do. Two teams make the Super Bowl, and then you begin on this course of, okay, well, how did they do it? And how can my team be like that? Whichever it is. They're different from each other, so it'd be interesting to do that. But Week 17, would you expect either the Chiefs or the 49ers to make the Super Bowl if Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't happen and Miami beats New England and the end of the Seattle game on the Sunday night where San Francisco gets away with a pass interference in the end zone and then the go-ahead touchdown is like inches short, literally like an inch or two short on Hollister to end the game? Like if Seattle gets in, San Francisco is the 5 seed and they're going to Philadelphia and then they're going to Green Bay or New Orleans and then they're going to the other one probably. I mean, do they win all three of those games as good as they look? I don't know. I mean, probably not. I would say probably not. They're probably not running the table three road wins if not for the end of that game in Seattle. Now, you know, they did win the game. I'm not saying they didn't deserve to win the game or anything, but they could have easily lost. That's the point. And if New England, what do you think about this? If New England beats Miami, which most of us thought would have been easy, and they don't. If New England beats Miami, is Kansas City in the Super Bowl? Kansas City would be the 3 and play Tennessee. It'd be yesterday's game in the wild card. So one of these two teams is out immediately. Okay, so Kansas City won. Maybe Tennessee is out first game of the playoffs, first weekend of the playoffs. And you have Kansas City at New England. Would you just assume Kansas City would win that game? They played in December. The Chiefs won a close game on the road. New England at home in the playoffs. I mean, they lost this time, but that was a close game too. Who knows? And then they go to Baltimore if Baltimore doesn't lose to Houston. Like Baltimore who knows? Baltimore lost last year too, but the way Tennessee looked in that game, the way that game went, you can't know this. I'm not saying that I do, but you know, I'd think Baltimore would beat Houston. They beat them 41-7 or something. And then they would have the Chiefs or the Patriots if they were to win that game yesterday. And they don't. I mean, none of this happened. I know, but week 17 meant so much to both of these teams getting there. And it's so fickle. Like, the Saints go right out. The Saints end up being a team that kind of blew it when, if they get the call from the Seahawks game, they're getting a bye, and you know, their worst result is losing last week. So that's always important to do, like, just to remember how close it is. San Francisco, what a sight to see the 49ers and their offense. I mean, that really is awesome. I love passing. I want the Bills to throw more. I always do. I have forever. This team has been mired in the bottom of the rankings in passing offense almost every year for how many years? For 10 or 15 or 20 years. They still are. They went and got the quarterback in the top 10. They still are. They still have a lowly passing offense. And I don't know, like, you wonder if that will ever be different. San Francisco comes out and throws how many passes yesterday?
Was it 8? I think it might have. It was super small.
Maybe. And I have, Joe and I are in a league, wouldn't you know it? The League of Shopes and Playoff Dreams. And I'm sitting here with, we have the draft. You have no limit on how many players per team you can pick. But, you know, once your team loses, that player goes away. And I decided, I picked last in that draft, I think. So I didn't have, like, the Saints went early. The Saints were the guys who went early because they were a Super Bowl favorite or close to it, and they played the first week. So that's what you want. You get 3 or 4 games out of them. I'm sitting there at the bottom of that draft, and I'm just going to take whatever, like, the top odds team left once it comes to me, and that happened to be the 49ers. So I'm sitting there with Garoppolo, Kittle, Emmanuel Sanders, and their kicker, thinking, like, okay. And I won last week against Minnesota without much offense from any of those guys, but that can't happen 2 weeks in a row. And it did happen 2 weeks in a row. The kicker is the only guy of the three of them doing anything. Garoppolo is good for a quarterback sneak here and there. But Kittle is a blocker in these two games. Sanders is by far the second option in their wide receiver group to Samuel, to Deebo Samuel. And I'm just nowhere. I'm getting nothing. I have the quarterback. And I'm getting nothing, and it's still amazing. So yesterday, my point was going to be, I'm watching them hoping for numbers from their passing offense, and like, he rarely drops back. When he does, it, you know, didn't go great. He got away with a pass that could have been picked off early on a drive. I think that might be the field goal drive for 10-0. Green Bay guy had 2 hands on the ball, King, and then the next play happens, and they just blast through the line of scrimmage for 13 yards over and over and over and over again. I turned that game off at 27-0. It wasn't even halftime yet. Like, we do not need to watch the rest of this. My interest is the 49er passing attack. They're up 27-0 in the second quarter. I am not getting any points from Jimmy Garoppolo and George Kittle and Emmanuel Sanders. So that proved correct, even if the game did get a little bit closer. And so, I mean, I'm in this thing. Joe, this is going to actually could be interesting in the Super Bowl, Joe, by the way. Our thing. Ryan Mura is way ahead. Then you have Mahomes. Like, you could maybe get there.
I'm 48 behind. He's got Watkins and Kyle Shanahan, and Darwin Thompson's probably not much, but.
Right. We drafted coaches, too.
I need 50 for Mahomes, probably. Against that defense.
You know, if there's any player in the league, maybe except Lamar, sure. Mahomes might be.
But he has to do it without throwing it to Sammy Watkins, also.
That's right.
So
he's running too. That run was spectacular.
The run gave me even like a minuscule chance.
Okay, so look at mine. Look at my situation.
You're way down. You're second last, 154.
I'm 100 points behind.
But you've got
Garoppolo. I can do it. Garoppolo, Sanders, Kittle, Robbie Gold, Damian Williams, and DeMarcus Robinson. And if the
right.
and he's got Shanahan, so I need the 49ers to lose probably. If the Chiefs win a shootout and Watkins gets left out, then I can get there. I think I have an outside chance of getting there, but not likely.
I think you might have a better chance than I do.
Yeah, maybe.
It's close. Yeah, Garoppolo 6 of 8 for 77 yards yesterday.
6 of 8.
It's like the 60s.
It's Bob Greasy. Bob Greasy in Super Bowl 8 threw 7 passes. 24-7. But how? I mean, it was incredible. And I love it. I mean, I might have said it already. I want passing. I want the Bills to throw the ball. I don't care if it's cold out. It's not really that cold out. It doesn't really matter. Come on. Like, one of these years, will you be able to have a modern passing offense, a good passing offense? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it's too much to ask for. But the 49ers come along and just bludgeon their way into the Super Bowl. And, you know, the Super Bowl will determine even further what to make of it. Just like last year. It's just how a lot of us do it. It's usually to be corrected, but it is how a lot of us do it. It's, you know, last year was a year where the top four scoring teams made the conference championships, and then the Super Bowl ended 13-3, and it's, hey, guys, got to have that defense. Well, how do you get into the Super Bowl? You know how you get in the Super Bowl? Get a bye. 7 years in a row, the two Super Bowl teams both had a bye. So you got to have the season and then be able to do what these two teams did, which is, in the end, win two home games. The Chiefs beat the Texans and the Titans in the playoffs to go to the Super Bowl. Wouldn't you like that sort of task when you put it like that? That's how did they get to the Super Bowl? They beat Houston and Tennessee at home. Doesn't sound so hard. San Francisco, how did they get to the Super Bowl? They beat Minnesota and Green Bay at home. Doesn't sound so hard. You got to have the season and then win those two games.
Then you get the AFC South.
And then draw the AFC South or draw the NFC North, whatever, and just, you know, roll the dice. But you've got to have the season too. I mean, it happens. It happens that a wild card team gets there. It's 7 years in a row, I believe I read, that no wild card team has. So it's really good. This matchup is really good for conversation. And it's going to be fun to talk about. Hopefully it'll be fun to watch. No Patriots in it. None of that. You got two fun, interesting, different, you know, fundamentally in terms of like coach, GM, quarterback, young kind of things going. With the exception of Reed, but Reed's his own case and he's his own story. He's a good story too. 803-0550 is the number here. Sneaky Joe Sports Thunder. Continue. I'm just happy to be a part of it here on Sneaky Joe Sports Thunder. Bulldog is off today. He's with his son at a hockey tournament. You would have guessed that, probably. Where's Bulldog? That's where Bulldog is. He's at a hockey tournament, right? On the road. So he won't be here, but Sal will join me from Mobile. Sal is at the Senior Bowl this week for a few days, and that'll be cool to talk to him about it. Joe and I are both big into fantasy. If you don't know, we have a draft next Saturday.
I'm super excited. Yeah.
We have our annual February Fix, appropriately named February Fix Draft, where we draft for next season. Not so easy. Not for the faint of heart.
Day before the Super Bowl, right?
Every year it's been the day before the Super Bowl and is again this year.
So you got to carry that risk of anyone getting hurt in the Super Bowl if you draft anyone on the Niners or the Chiefs.
Fun tradition. Rob Gronkowski last year was a fairly high pick in this draft. Not a super high pick, but a fairly high pick. He had the Super Bowl coming up the next day.
And then the retirement rumors at that point.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But there had always been those and, you know, you take your chances.
He could get drafted.
You think so?
Yeah, I bet someone takes Rob Gronkowski next Saturday.
That's a bet. Come on, who's doing that?
Well, can we make it a bet? Because if nobody does it, I might just take him with my last round pick to win the bet. Like, would there have to be stipulations here?
Friendly bet.
Okay.
You're not necessarily wrong. I mean, there are some kind of wild picks by the end of that draft. A lot of rookies get drafted, even though you don't know what teams they're on. Guys have been drafted the last 2 years who did not even declare.
Sure. Right.
Because I don't know how it. Or maybe they declared and then withdrew and went back to school. We've had guys the last 2 years that got drafted in this that ended up not coming into the league. Nick Chubb. The year before Nick Chubb was a rookie, so whatever that is, 3 years ago, he was drafted in February 6th, did not come into the league. But it's not a keeper or dynasty or anything like that. It's just a one-off league, best ball. We don't have any trades or waivers or anything like that. We draft the day before the Super Bowl, and it sits there. And Sal is in that league, so probably come up when Sal is on the show today, too. Talk a little Sabres. We've got some baseball to do, Hall of Fame, and also I don't really care that much about the Hall of Fame, but it's happening. And also the Astros thing, I've got a couple of thoughts new on that. And more. 803-0550 to call in. Mike Shope here. This is WGR.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, like you said, it's only been a couple weeks, and you know, I've had a lot of time with my family the last couple weeks and just decompressing from the season and spending time with them. So I said earlier, I'm open-minded about the process. And, you know, at the same time, I love playing football and I want to continue to play and do a great job. So I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Whatever the future may bring, I'll embrace it with open arms.
Brady from Westwood One. Let's try to put odds on where he goes. And retirement, I'd want to include retirement in the breakdown. I want to have that be an option. Because most guys retire when, not on their own terms. Most guys retire when the league doesn't want them anymore. And then they're just out. And I haven't been, no one's convinced me yet that that couldn't happen here. I feel like that could happen here. You want Tom Brady if your team is already pretty good, or you can argue that it's pretty good. The personnel is at least good. Got to be average or better. Average at worst. So your personnel counts for something. It's there. Your quarterback position is open. And I don't know, maybe also your location, your franchise's situation would mean something in that. And the Chargers for me have always made the most sense. And the more I've thought about it, the more sense it makes. This idea that he could be a benefit to them from a business standpoint. I mean, okay, if that's relevant, then that would seem to be right. New stadium, Los Angeles, like, okay. Would it be beneath Brady to play for the LA Chargers? How could it be? Like, if he is willing to leave the Patriots, which is still an if, you know, we kind of, it sounds like he would be, but I don't know that I know that. If he were willing to leave the Patriots, how picky really could he be? He's not going to play for San Francisco or Kansas City. So how picky could he really be? Like, the Chargers to me are a good enough team that in a, you know, that market, that I think that should be good enough for him. So I would say Chargers work in terms of personnel and roster. They work in terms of location, slash business, and who knows who their quarterback's going to be. And I don't think there's a better idea. Like, I still don't know of a better idea. There are some okay ideas. The Colts, the Raiders are a couple. Like, those are fine, but think the Chargers really work. So that's just me guessing, though. Like, the Patriots don't have a quarterback without him either. And Josh McDaniels is still there. Not to mention that Belichick is still there. And wouldn't the Patriots give him any money, any amount of money? Like, wouldn't they probably do that for him? That's a team that could justify one more year. Like, they could go for one more year. They did win 13 games, right? Or 12. Oh, and maybe it was only 12 in the end. But still, whatever. They won their division. Couldn't they do that? So what do you think? Like, what are the odds? Is New England, is any team 50-50 or better? Maybe not. Who's the favorite? New England would probably have to be the favorite.
Yeah.
Because he's, you know, he's there. Like, that's still his team. So New England, for me, would be the favorite. Until somebody announces, like, we don't want him back, or he says, I'm not going back, like, that's it, then I would still make New England the favorite. New England, L.A. Chargers, Colts, Raiders. I mean, what's New England? What should the odds be on the Patriots? 2-1?
Yeah, sure. 2-1's not bad. I saw Bet Online had odds on this last week. I don't see them up anymore. I got them tweeting it out, though. They don't have the Patriots listed, though, which is weird.
People would pound it at 2-1. They'd pound the Patriots. Yeah, it's got to be lower, like a 6-5.
The Chargers were plus 200. That was the
Chargers are 2-1.
Yeah. Cowboys, 700. Raiders, 700. Colts, 800. Panthers and Browns and Buccaneers, 900.
Panthers, Browns, Buccaneers.
And then you've got Denver, Miami, Minnesota, Chicago further down the list. And that's all that's listed.
Okay. I mean, I just think the Chargers works in every way. Unless they just don't want it. If they don't want it, then there's nothing else.
But the other mitigating factors about all of the storylines, how they just cannot sell tickets and they can't sell suites, there's nothing that makes more sense than getting Tom Brady for that. And like, maybe there's not a big difference between him and Rivers, but they could convince themselves that they could, with that same recipe, still be a good team.
Aren't there other quarterbacks, though, that they could, not maybe from a business standpoint, but from a competitive standpoint, the stuff that we care about?
Sure.
Aren't there other players that could be as good of an idea or better?
Sure. If I want them to win, I think I'd rather have Cam Newton at this point.
Yeah.
I'd rather have, what do they pick, 7th? Rather draft a guy from the Oregon kid, maybe Herbert. Like,
that's another one that couples with Brady. That's like a steak and a Cabernet. You have Brady and you have a rookie. Mahomes is in the Super Bowl and won the MVP and he sat for a year.
Yeah, he's finally, we got in, and Garoppolo sat for
Garoppolo
3 years.
Right. That's another thing from the Super Bowl, is that both quarterbacks sat before they went in.
So now that'll be brought up for the next 20 years, for sure.
Maybe that means, Joe, maybe that means somehow one or two of these quarterbacks ends up on a team that we would never expect because they have somebody. But now, hey, why did you draft a quarterback? Can't believe you drafted a quarterback. Well, if you look at the teams in the Super Bowl.
Like, so, the Packers are going to draft a guy in the first round?
Yeah, maybe. Is there somebody who is good enough to matter but could slip to like 28 or wherever Green Bay would be? The Oregon kid?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's
although
a big
it sounds
enough,
like he's going higher.
It'd be a trade-up. It'd be like what the Chiefs did.
Yeah, a trade-up. Pittsburgh. That might be a quicker timeline than Green Bay.
We don't need you right now.
Yeah, but we're going to.
But, you know, we're going to do it.
That could be the Chargers if they brought in Brady. They could be Chargers regardless. They could go with Tyrod and a rookie. Who knows?
I think for a team like that, Brady and a rookie works.
I agree. I like your point, though, that if they, for on the field purposes, they can do better. They certainly can do better.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't assume they
could
that
also,
they couldn't.
They could do, I mean, they could do worse, but it's the same thing for me. So it depends on what their motivation is. If they could try to accomplish both things, because if they're trying to sell tickets, like, Cam Newton to me is a better idea, and he'll still do that for you.
They should totally go after winning next year.
The Chargers.
The Chargers should totally be about that. How many games did they win this year? Like 5 or 6? They fell apart. But they are an all-time, they've been this before, I have to say, and it hasn't really worked out. But they are an all-time great example of a team that should bounce back. Like, Chargers or Bills next year in wins? Chargers. Like, they, depending on who the quarterback is. Like, you can't really know that yet, but they're just a classic case. They were good already. They had tons of injuries to important players, and they lost all their games by an inch. But how much better can you do for a recipe for a team that should bounce back in the win column than that? That's like the perfect recipe. Again, who their quarterback is, well, it won't necessarily be an upgrade, but possibly, maybe probably it would be. They're the perfect team for this. The 49ers, you know, went from bad, 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 and bad to this year, to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the thing about process that, like, what you get from the Bills is process, process, process. Be patient. We are now 3 years into Sean McDermott. It's two playoff teams. That's good. That's really good for them. But it's, you know, process, like, not necessarily. You don't have to wait forever to see your team grow into something. It's not 1950s baseball. Like, you can flip it with the right everything. You know, you got to have a lot of luck, maybe. I just did 10 minutes on how lucky the 49ers were to not have to go on the road in the first round. I mean, they had a great season. They still easily could have gone on the road in the first round. There's always that, and the Bills benefited from that this year themselves. But the 49ers, they didn't really grow it, per se. They traded for Garoppolo. I mean, the 49ers made big moves that I didn't like, and here they are. The 49ers have done a lot of things that I think I wouldn't have done, and here they are. And I don't hide from that. I mean, that is how difficult it really is. I mean, I'm not saying, like, nobody could have predicted it or anything like that. I'm not saying that either. But it's always right that the other way can work. The way football is, the other way can work too. Other options, trading instead of drafting, trading up, running all the time, the different things about any, it can work. So you don't rule anything out. I just want to play the odds. And the odds for me are a couple times with the 49ers, I don't know, the Garoppolo trade, and then they paid him like they did. Yikes, that was a risk. If you can get to the NFC Championship game and have him throw 8 passes, okay, like, who cares? Whatever. And he had, that's not to say, like, he had games this year where they lit it up. I mean, they had a win in New Orleans. Remember the game they won this year in New Orleans, like 48-46 or some score like that? And they threw the ball like crazy in that game. Kittle running through guys to set up the winning field goal, getting dragged by his face mask. Like, they were a big-time passing offense in that game. Sanders contributed for them, Debo Samuel for them. So they had that, they showed that capacity in the course of the season, and without it, they probably are not in the Super Bowl. They needed to, you got to have the season and then do the rest of it in the playoffs. It's just that, you know, I always want to push back against any sort of idea that the Bills thing has to take time. Because it doesn't have to. If you get there, then you get there. And whatever you did, it's the great thing about sports. All kinds of opinions, all kinds of debate about all kinds of different moves, how you got your players, what trades did you make, your draft picks, everything, your coordinators, your schemes, everything. It's always under scrutiny. Once you win, all of it was right. Hey, we needed to trade. If the Bills had won the Super Bowl this year, trading Sammy Watkins, great idea. Everything they did would have been given credit for how it helped them build a Super Bowl winner. That's just how it goes. Every sport, team, even if a move looks, Watkins is not a good example of this, even if a move looks terrible when you isolate it from everything else the team did, hey, without it, for this reason, without it, we wouldn't have won. I am a Watkins fan. I was happy to see him have a good day yesterday. I said last week about him, I just like seeing him make plays. I like seeing him be in a situation, be in games where he's relevant, because he's really good. And I was bummed out and really shocked when the Bills traded him. I was also kind of shocked and not so thrilled when they drafted him because of what that cost to do. But I've never had a bad taste in my mouth about him, and I liked seeing him do well. And yesterday, he certainly did. He had a monster game for them, and he is in the Super Bowl. Watkins, this will be his sixth playoff game in 3 years. He's averaged 4 for 78 in those five games, including yesterday. Yesterday being the best one of them. That's his first postseason touchdown, that long one yesterday when the guy fell. Mahomes, I mean, you don't get that without Mahomes, right? That play. That's a Patrick Mahomes play more than it's a Sammy Watkins play. And Mahomes just was spectacular in both of these playoff games. Every prediction about, you know, how great he is, every statement like that, proven solid by how he did in these two games. Last year they lose, it's the Chiefs can't do it. I definitely had a lot of that in my mind through this season. I don't want to be afraid of Kansas City. They've lost in the playoffs so many times. I feel like it is pretty amazing that they have gone 50 years without a Super Bowl team. Like, I wonder if Joe would think this, being his age. Like, haven't we seen Kansas City be good all the time? Like, they're not great all the time, but they're good all the time. And if you go back to Schottenheimer's teams, which are just before you, pretty much, like, Schottenheimer's the Charger coach probably when you first know about
him. My first memories of the Chiefs is, like, Dick Vermeil.
Yeah, Larry Johnson.
Yeah.
And so before that, with Schottenheimer and Gerbach and the late 90s teams, those were playoff teams, home field in the playoffs, and just they never got there. So 50, like, this has not been one of these franchises like the Dolphins or the Jets or the Browns or one of these AFC franchises that's just always a mess. Like, they've been good, and they still have not made the Super Bowl in 50 years. Pretty amazing for a good franchise. 803-0550 is the number. Sal will be on in about 15 minutes from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Nice for him. Bulldog is off today. I'm expecting him back tomorrow. We have no Sabres games this week with the Sabres on their so-called bye week and then the All-Star break coming up. So the next Sabre game is not until, I think, next Tuesday at home against Ottawa, a week away, more than a week away. Mike Shope here with Sneaky Joe DiBiase. This is WGR.
It's been a true pleasure. The organization took a chance on me, and I felt like I gave them everything I got. You know, obviously we're not sure what's going to happen, but I know when it's all said and done that I gave this organization everything I could.
Marcus Mariota talking like he's done with Tennessee, or he expects to be. Not quite Garrett Cole right there. Garrett Cole of the Astros after Game 7 of the World Series. It's like, I don't even work here anymore. They wanted him to come out and do interviews as one of the players on the Astros. Like, I don't even work for the Astros anymore. And he did eventually come out, but he had all Astros logos and everything off. He had like a Scott Boras hat or something, or an MLBPA hat or something. Like, he just completely disowned the team in the minutes after that World Series was over. Mariota, not quite like that, but. Is he interesting to you? How interesting is Marcus Mariota going forward? Is he a backup? Like, is that 100% next year he's somebody's backup? He's in the league, but who would start him week one?
I don't think there are enough jobs available in addition to who's out there for him to get a job.
No, he's not. You can't go to next year with him as your number one.
He's Bridgewater. He goes somewhere as a backup, and maybe he picks a spot where there's an older guy that he can take over after. Or maybe maybe he goes – Tannehill didn't have a choice in where he went, but maybe he tries to do what just happened to him. Go pick a spot where the guy is maybe on thin ice, like go to Chicago. And then if Trubisky stinks for five games, maybe you get a shot there. Something like that.
It's an interesting idea.
I think he's a backup.
I think what you say is probably right. Boy, a lot of guys are going to want to be able to do that. If I'm not, you got to read the board. Am I a starter? Maybe I am, but I'm probably not. Mariota's a good example of this. And then if they're not, that's exactly what they're going to want to do. Where can I? This is nothing new necessarily, but who's vulnerable? Who wants me with a quarterback that's vulnerable? That might be the best example there is. Might be a couple others that are close.
I mean, because is he even at the level, like, are the Chargers, you said, would they, if they want to go for who's a better option on field, like, is that a clear, definitive, better option than, like, even the Brady's? No, I don't think so.
No. Chicago's good. Chicago might want somebody better than Mariota. for that role.
They should want someone better than Mariota.
They should.
Maybe if this Rivers to Tampa thing happens, maybe they can get Winston.
Yeah.
Is he better? I don't know.
Is Winston better than what? Than Mariota?
Mariota.
Probably. I've liked Mariota, but, you know, it just never really got there. He lost me, whatever, who am I? He lost me in the Thursday night game against Jacksonville when they were all over him and he just wouldn't throw it. You know, that just reminded me of Trent, where you're losing, you've got no other choice. You got to throw the ball. And he would still just wait and wait and wait and get hit. And that happened the whole game. Like, you know what? I'm done here. And then he got maybe the Bills game was the next week. I don't know. But he got the Bills game and they scored 7 points. And that was it. Tannehill went in, never to look back.
I saw a stat. You only have to go like 24 games back into Jameis Winston's career for him to have more picks than Mariota in his entire career.
Yeah, so Winston has more interceptions in like a year and a half than Mariota's ever had.
Pretty much.
Yeah. He won't throw the ball. Right? Nobody's throwing picks anymore. That's why you got to love Jameis Winston as a quarterback.
30.
You know, I'm not as a guy, I'm not saying that. But as a 30 interceptions, nobody throws interceptions anymore. A bad year is like throwing 8. You got to keep this guy in. We got to find a spot for him. Sal Capaccio next. This is Mike Schoep with Sneaky Joe on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.